This week on RSBNB Update, we have a first-hand experience with the player-owned farm, Farmhands, and the many farming quality of life updates this week. We also have a rundown on the Valentine's Day Twitch Prime offer, and a discussion on smithable salvage and the comp game. This is RSBNB Update, episode 710, recorded Thursday, February 7th, 2019. Do you need a hand? Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for RSBNB Update. You're probably wondering, where's our guest host? Who's joining Shane and Tannis this week? But as it is a farming update, I figured, no, we don't need a guest. We got that certainly covered, as with someone here who has just passed 150 million farming XP. That's me.
Yeah, we have an in-house expert. Can't do better than that, right?
Yeah. I actually got my 150 mil when I was shoveling manure in my dragon pen.
Is anything more appropriate for the farming skill than that?
I mean, normally you don't like to use words like that, but I mean, you start off farming by growing strawberries and potatoes, and then here we are, 150 million XP in however many years, 12 years after farming came out, shoveling crap in a dragon pen.
Welcome to being a farmer, Shane.
Never changes, does it?
No, it does not.
Anyways, oh, Christ, 14 years to 2005. For some reason, I thought 2007, but 2005, now that I think about it, makes a whole lot more sense. Okay, so this week we got the Farmhands update. You sinking your teeth into this one? Is it making you come back to the farm?
Well, you know, I've been coming back to the farm in anticipation for this. But this one, I haven't took on myself yet. Like, I haven't found a farmhand that was right for me that I needed right now. But that being said, once I am done with working on XP and I'm going for beans, then I'm going to get I'm bringing in the babysitter that will do the adolescent. Yeah.
So, you know, that's interesting you mentioned that, because I think the babysitter one is the farmhand that everybody is talking about with this, because there are the most of them. And when it comes down to it, there are other farmhands, and I don't know the particular usefulness for someone who has completed most of the farm stuff in this regard, in terms of, you know, the collector, for example, unless you're doing it for breeding, which, I mean, maybe, because yeah. What the collector does, I should back up a bit. The collector basically looks at everything in your breeding pen and stores up to 30 animals of three different types as their unchecked versions, and allows you then to put them into a regular pen when you want to turn them into a baby animal. So that's what the collector does. It just basically collects the freshly born animals and eggs and whatnot and moves them in.
See, I think that actually could be useful, just in the sense that, say, you filled up your barn, you don't want to fill up any space in your bank, and you're at your limit on your animals that week. So it's just another way to hold, you know, your animals, because you don't want to lose out on what you're producing, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
And, yeah.
Okay. So aside from that, we have the babysitters, and these prevent animals from growing to past adolescent stage. And, you know, there's two babysitters for each size of pen. There's a small pen babysitter, medium pen babysitter, large pen babysitter, and a general pen babysitter. These go for 1,000, 2,000, and 3,500 beans, respectively, and they have a per-use cost, where for the small pen, it's 2 beans, for the medium pen, it's 5 beans, and for the large in general, it's 10 beans per use. So, you know, when you look at it, that's really not too bad of a bean cost to prevent something from going past adolescent. So,
no, not at all. Now, the initial cost of getting them I think it's a little bit higher, isn't it? Like,
yeah, 1,000, 2,000, 3,500.
So, see, that's not bad. I mean, you could probably do that.
And see,
I mean, you could probably have them in a week. You
know, I had upwards of 80,000 being stockpiled before this update. So, I mean, if for anybody who has been interacting with the daily since it came out, the bean price wasn't going to be an issue. But, I mean, I guess one good thing about it is it gives people definitely something to work towards, right?
It definitely does. Yeah, and especially if you're going for beans. So like I said, in my case, like I'm trying to work on some XP right now, but and I don't really want this really, really out there, but whatever. I'm just gonna say it.
What's happening now?
Well, I'm not really competing this time around in the big clan competition, but the next time I am, and I'm gonna kill everybody with magic beans. Like, I'm going to annihilate them on a double XP weekend with beans. Yeah, it's going to be ugly, Shane.
And you know, I've been saying this for a long time. You know, there's going to be someone on a double XP weekend or in a skilling competition that's going to have all these beans stockpiled, and then lo and behold, bam, they're going to get a huge amount of farming XP. So, anyways, so there's. There's two babysitters for each pen, small, medium, and large. And what you basically do with that is you head on over to the pen, head on over to your farmhands tab, and then it'll say where your current babysitter or your farmhand is. And it's interesting to me because there are 8 farmhands available, but we only have 6 pens when you look at the small, medium, and larges. And there's 2 generals. And, of course, you can grow things in your breeding pen. I have turned my breeding pen into another dragon pen that actually holds 4 dragons rather than 3. I bet you guys didn't know that the breeding pen can hold 4 dragons at a time.
Yes, and if you have an alt, you can really get some things going. Because you can have one doing the breeding and the other doing the growing.
Oh, because they're tradable, too, at any stage.
Dude. Yeah.
Mind blown. That adds a whole new dimension to farming for skilling competitions.
It does.
I mean, I guess we should have thought of that coming in, but hey.
Yeah.
All right. So, this tells me that at some point in the future, we're likely to maybe see another farm added somewhere. Because, you know, there's eight hands in total, but you can only use at most 7 of them. I mean, am I missing something with this? Because that's...
No, I think your math is right.
Because, you know, you can assign a farm hand onto a specific pen, but...
Oh, the trapper doesn't need a spot.
No, the trapper doesn't need a spot. Unless, hang on, I got to test something with this because something is not adding up here. And what I'm thinking that we missed in the initial run through of this is that you can put multiple babysitters on one pen to prevent everything from growing up. I think that's the angle that we're not talking about here, and I think that might have been mentioned in the live stream, but I didn't do that. Okay. And you know, when you look at the UI, it's not immediately clear that that's one of the methods that can happen with this. So, now I think that the dragons are probably the best bet to take to adolescent for beans in the large pens. What would you say for medium? Zygomites or spiders?
I think zygotes are the best, the zygomites. I mean, the spiders were good money when it first came out, but I think the zygomites are the way to go.
All right. So we're going to go to the farm and we're going to have a look at this, and RSBMB Update is becoming famous for doing live RuneScape demos in game on this. So
test it out right now.
Yeah. And I'll just say, what the trapper does, since while we're waiting here. And the trapper is available for the price of 5,000 beans initially for the hire, and 100 beans every time you want to send him out. And what he can do is he can go out and get any non-shiny animal in-game. Of course, things like dragons and whatnot are going to have a higher rarity than things such as spiders and rabbits. But what this does is it allows folks who don't do combat to have a chance at getting dragons and whatnot. Because, you know, there could be a skill peer, for example, that it didn't want to fight dragons. So that would be that. So.
Okay. I guess that's... Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair. I was trying to figure out what a good use for him would have been, and I couldn't figure it out because the prices are so low now, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, so you can put more than one babysitter on the pen. And, you know, the interesting part about this is that I can just keep assigning babysitters to a pen that is full. Oh, no, you can't. Okay, good. So there's a limit on 3. So it looks as though that each farmhand will just work for the specific animal in that pen.
Okay. That makes sense, I guess.
So it's not one per pen. It's effectively one per animal.
So we're actually short.
We're short. And that brings in, of course, the cost-benefit analysis that you'll want to do with this, right? So, okay. So that's something that I wasn't aware of and could have been made, I think, a lot more clear in the news post regarding this. So, babysitters, one per animal inside each of the pens. And they prevent your animals from growing past adolescent. So, let's see if that was anywhere in the news post. Did you catch anything on that?
No.
Because from the way this post is worded, it makes it sound as though you need one pen or one farmhand per pen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time we saw something worded slightly odd, you know.
Maximum of two of each type can be hired, and that's all it says. And, you know, I'm in a stage where I'm using my farm for something else other than beans. I'm using it for dragon manure because I'm doing lots of herb runs these days. So I'm not growing dragons anymore. So my babysitters didn't tick off. And I only put one babysitter on each of my pens. So I had no idea that you could put more than one until I actually just logged in here and tested that.
You're still getting your XP, right, Shane?
No, not when they're elder.
Really?
No. No.
But how are you going to get 200 mil if you're not collecting XP?
We're not going for 200 mil because if I get 200 mil farming XP, that means I need to start a new account and start fresh.
Okay.
Okay, so hopefully we've clarified that you can have multiple pens or multiple farmhands per pen, and it's not abundantly clear that one farmhand won't do the job for all the animals.
Yep.
So you learn something new every day, and you know I think that provides a new level of authenticity.
Hey, that's what podcast. We do. We educate, right?
Yeah, and educate ourselves in the process, too.
We do.
So collector, we already talked a bit about 30 animals from 3 different species for 90 in total.
That's huge.
Yeah,
that's a huge amount.
And
that's more than the barn, isn't it?
Right, and what this means is that you can effectively be farming these animals out so that you can just keep, you know, having the new ones come out, and every time you're done with an elder, you just move them in from your barn, the unchecked version, into a large or medium pen, if it's a zygomite or a dragon, and then you move on from there. Whereas previously you had to manually manage the breeding. No, I don't know how that sounds, manually managing breeding.
Yeah, not good.
No. But, no. All right. And Trapper, the best I have got from Trapper has been spiders and strawberry cow.
You done anything with the Trapper? I hadn't. I know that on the stream they were talking about like the first day or so, they was just bringing back rabbits. Yeah.
The first day is when I got my colored cows, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, there's just, you know, I've got my, everything I have is like what I want and where I want it. So yeah. I just didn't really need to use him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it certainly helps because who wants to go kill spiders for so long, right? Then if you need spiders, you just start breeding them and eventually you can get all the different spider types.
Yeah, I just think they're really plentiful though. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
There was a bug with the Trapper when it first came out that his voyages were only taking 30 seconds instead of 6 hours. So, yeah, there are a number of people that benefited from that. It was hot fixed, and they put out a funny little tweet saying that the Trapper found a way to do some time travel to limit the amount of time it would take for him to do that. And there were folks from Clan Quest just standing in the barn, sending the Trapper out and seeing what he would bring back. So. And that was a fun little glitch that happened with that. But, of course, it's been fixed. And, you know, we thought, is it really only supposed to take 30 seconds for this to happen? Are we supposed to be gambling our beans away to get animals? And, you know, and lo and behold, here we are. 6 hours. So, you know, there is also something else with this update that we should mention, and that's the Storm Barn. And, you know, this is something that requires 60 construction to build, 20 mahogany planks, and 225 rune nails. And the idea behind it is that you can use it to store your animals. It starts off with storing 15 animals, and you can upgrade it to store 30 at the end of the day. So
nice.
I did that. And, you know, the bean price for upgrading to 30 is expensive. It's something like 25,000 beans.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Wow.
But, I mean, this is what we
thought. We get a bean sink, huh?
Right. And it's a bit of a bean sink, but I think I don't know. I don't know if that's the right term to use, but it's a nice deduction of beans nonetheless. You know, 15 is good, 30 is good, and we always talk about updates that are coming out that are reducing the amount of bank space that are needed. So here we are.
Once again.
And, you know, there's lots of talk about whether bank rework is needed. But, you know, the more these things are moved out and the more things that come forward on this, the less I'm convinced that we do need the bank rework. But,
you know, and I hope it continues in this direction because actually I think I like this more. Like, I think I like to be able to go where I'm going and be able to pull the stuff that I need right there, yeah. You know, and yeah. Not have to worry about
yeah.
carrying everything with me
yeah.
like a hobo. Like, yeah. It's kind of cool.
I agree. Correction, 20,000 beans for the expansion, 5,000 beans okay. for the initial. So, I mean, it's still 25,000 beans to
yeah.
store everything, right?
Yeah.
And there's also baby shakes that we talked about last week.
Yeah, I can't believe he's still there.
Yeah. And, you know, the name of the troll changes based on what you feed it. And when you feed it an animal, it says, yum, me like Rizzo. Yum, me like Jessica. And the hover over text for the troll changes based on the name of it. So it's just a nice little way of dumping out animals that are that you don't need anymore. So,
which is funny because we can't like butcher the animals, but we can feed them to trolls. That's totally fine. It's totally cool.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also the status icons you can buy for 1,500 beans. They show when an animal's diseased or when it's ready to be harvested. The harvested icon is a sickle. Diseased is a skull. And there's a right-click on Granny Potterington, so you can turn them off if you don't want to see that after you buy it. So that's good.
I always find myself going through the pen anyway. Yeah. Make sure I don't miss anything.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And, you know, this is good for folks who are more visual because then they can just click on the animal that's diseased and it pops up, or click on the one that needs to be harvested and there you go.
Yeah, that's true. So,
all right. Let's see. Is there anything else on the actual meat of this update that we need to go through? Or can we just go on the patch notes with this? I think we got most of it.
I can't think of anything we didn't cover. I mean, you know, this is essentially a Ninja update from Game Jam. So, I mean, it's nice.
And you see the trend that's happening here. Ninja updates are becoming themed and they're becoming batched with other fixes to create headlining updates for the rest of the month.
And you know what? I'm fine with that.
I mean, this was a farming week, as you'll see in the patch notes. There is a patch note that I have been wanting to have been fixed since September of 2017 in here, but we'll get to that.
Really?
Later. Yeah.
Now I'm curious. Now I want to know.
Yeah.
Well, on to the patch notes.
Yeah, let's go on to the patch notes then. So, moving through this here. They added the old MC title for completing the player-owned farm breeding log, talk to Sam the sheepdog to unlock it. Now, I have to say the old MC completely escapes me.
Must be some kind of like British reference, right?
Oh. Old MacDonald had a farm. So if you had a character named Donald and you put this title on it, you'd be Old MacDonald.
Oh, okay.
Finally clicked.
Huh. Okay.
Old McShane 12088 had a farm.
Okay, that does make more sense now.
Yeah. I mean, you have to say it, right? Rather than Old MC, it's Old Mic.
Yeah. Well, I think you have to sing it.
Yeah.
Don't you, Shane?
Yeah. Old McDonald had a farm. You know, a number of weeks ago, or maybe it was around Christmas time, I saw a character running around called Donald Trump in RuneScape.
Oh, Lord.
Old McDonald Trump. That person should get this title.
You know what's hilarious? I actually had one of my friends dress up in RuneScape as him, because he had the briefcase and the suit outfit. And then we had my other buddy do a handstand, and I put a... Rocktail bubble right there. So as Trump was reaching for the bubble, it looked like he was reaching at the girl's skirt. The fun stuff you can do in RuneScape, right? That's in-game RuneScape right there.
Yeah, and you know, normally I would expect something like that to be relegated to old school.
No, I am guilty this time.
All right.
Just for the lols.
Added a Don't Ask Me Again option to the warning for removing unharvested animals from the player-owned farm. Yeah, because if you remove them, you can't harvest them, and you want to harvest them before you remove them.
Yeah.
We already talked about the indicators and baby shakes. I still can't believe they have let that name be in there like that.
I know. I'm pretty shocked.
You could say you're pretty shook.
I'm pretty shook, yeah.
Oh, we shouldn't be allowed to make jokes.
Yeah, wow.
Elite farmer hats can now be used to teleport or receive items if the player owns the master farmer hat. And, of course, the elite farmer hat is the one that gives you a couple of nests per day. And, I mean, it's a nice offer, but most of the seeds that come out of those nests tend to be garbage compared to the seeds that come out of the actual tree nests. So, yeah. Players can now teleport out of player-owned farm pens. You couldn't do this since launch because it's an instanced area.
I never realized that, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Fun one. Now some changes for the mining and smithing rework. Smelting gauntlets now count as blacksmith's gloves when wearing the blacksmith's outfit. So you can get that full 6% XP bonus.
I thought they did.
Nope.
Oh, man.
Nope.
I was told that they... Okay, well...
No. Nope.
I'm glad that's fixed.
Yeah, just in time for double XP weekend.
Yeah.
If you're mining red or crystal sandstone, it now has maxima stamina and does not reduce your stamina, so that your mining rate will not steadily reduce while emptying it. Therefore, it does not count to the My Sick 4 Tick trick achievement. You know, I never really saw this much of an issue, because by the time you're going to get through that crystal sandstone, you know, it's basically just a one hit for me, I was finding, though that might be different at lower levels. So I never had much of an issue
with
this.
I mean, although, how much lower level are you going to, is that going to even be applied?
Let's see, crystal sandstone, I want to say that's like 75.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Crystal flex sandstone, 81. Level 81 mining you need.
Mm.
So.
Well, okay, I guess it's an all right fix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now here's a good one. Mining specific game settings have been moved from the game interaction section into their own section. Hello, finally.
Yeah.
Like, this should have been done from the very beginning. And, you know, just to provide an example of this, this is something I think that can fall in a quality of life update, because when you're looking at settings like this, and you look at the RuneScape settings interface, it's very obtuse, you know. When someone says turn on your stamina for mining, you would think it would be under the skills tab. It wasn't. It was under the gameplay interaction tab, which is the same area you found things such as keyboard settings. But now if you go to skills, there's an actual mining section.
You know, I get a feeling we're never going to stop talking about the interface.
Yeah.
And the, Togglescape.
And in here you can find show stamina bar while mining and disable mining hit splats. And you're right, we won't be stopping talking about that, because I actually have an Informer article coming out this month about Togglescape.
All right. Hey.
And how it is incumbent upon software developers to find what is known as the sane default. Whereas what Jagex has been doing is they've been letting the players determine how they want that. And yes, you can have some things that have a sane default and can be toggleable, but at the same time, there are things from a general interaction perspective that should just be left to the game designers to figure out. One of those today in 2018 is the camera settings. There's no reason why we need to toggle between different camera settings in RS, between the classic camera and the RS3 camera. That's something that should have went away with RS3.
Yep, that's exactly right.
And, you know...
Oh, and it puts me in mind of the what was it last week when they had the patch on the regenerate?
Like,
that should have been an overall default situation, you know?
Like, but, you know, at the same time, some people who do high-end PVM don't want that because they use their adrenaline dummies and whatnot, so...
Well, I'm not saying you can't turn it off. I'm just saying it should have defaulted the same way with everybody, not like, well, if you did it before this time period, it's this default, and if you did it at this time,
all right, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is one of the things I really love about iOS, and this is where Jagex could learn from Apple on this, is that if we look at the iOS settings interface, it's very clear what you're expected to find and what will be there for all the various different apps and whatnot. And you don't have the whole kitchen sink. If you go into general, you got your software update, your AirDrop, and your handoff settings, tweaking for the home button if you have a device that doesn't have a real home button, accessibility settings, a way to see your storage and control. How quick the background apps refresh, as well as date, time, keyboard, region settings, and then a section on VPNs. And that's all you got in the general settings of iOS, and then the rest is distilled down into subsettings like display, control center, battery, and so on and so forth. So there's definitely an argument to be made for having a concise settings interface. All right. Further changes in the mining skill. A large bane rock built into the west and east cliffs faces at the mining site northeast of Relica were misbehaving and have been demoted to empty rocks, and a pair of smaller recruits have set vigil over their doomed predecessors. I had no idea that this was actually a good bane mining site. My bane mining site had just been the Glacier Cave.
Yeah, that's where I went. You know what? I worked too hard getting through that quest to not use it. So
yeah, very true.
I shall use it always.
A couple of bane rocks have been removed from the Atiso dungeon mine to better compete with the primary site. I'm guessing what we're calling the primary site is up by the Majorat ritual area.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. Okay. Now, speaking of the Glacier Cave, the outer bainite rocks in the Glacier Cave have been depleted to make it a more attractive proposition compared to the primary bainite site. Okay.
Okay, so it's not the spot.
No.
Then. Are they calling the primary site the one in the wilderness?
Could be. Let's see. Bainite rock. Need to... Let's go through the list here and figure out which of these is the primary site. So the Bainite Rock, level 54 in the wilderness, free to play, 6 Bane Rocks. Tarshak Sanctumim, the Abomination Mine, has 13 rocks from Hero's Welcome. So that's behind a quest. Yatiso is also behind the Fremenic Achievement Diary. The Glacier Cave is behind Ritual of the Majorat, of course. So the primary site is the Arctic Azure Habitat Bide near the Skill Champa Hunter area up in the Icelands. So that's the primary site up by that hunter area.
Okay.
And I'm guessing that is what they're talking about here in northeast of Relica, the primary mining site. So, or that makes that one the primary mining site, rather.
Oh, because, you know why? It's because it's not locked behind the quest stuff.
Yeah, so that makes it
okay.
That makes it primary. Now, multiple dark Animica rocks have been removed surrounding the empty throne to cluster of opportunities in the area.
You know, finally. That's good because they're so far away.
They're so far away. I'm glad about that one.
Yeah, me too.
Mining rocks in the Mining Guild are also now less spread out, and this also addresses an exploit on one of the Orichalcite rocks. Wondering what kind of exploit that could have been.
That's what I was wondering, too. Like, what, was people surging between the rocks?
Maybe. I don't know. Moving on to smithing, the smithing interface will now show the correct amount of XP given for each item. That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
The furnace perk will no longer work when mining with an augmented tool and relevant perk equipped that isn't a pickaxe.
Oh. Okay.
So what this means is that you could have a... you could have a crystal hatchet equipped with the furnace perk, but be using an Elder Rune pickaxe on your tool belt and still get the benefits of the furnace perk.
Yeah, I would say that needed a fix.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Players are no longer able to use the Edgeville Furnace by using mining and smithing items on it if they haven't completed the Easy for Rock tasks. Okay, that makes sense. That's an important bug to fix. Ore boxes will no longer autofill noted ores. You can still use the noted ores on the ore box to store them if you wish. And, you know, this is one of those things that should be like that, but it requires an extra little bit of interaction for the players to make it happen in this regard.
I don't even see how that – I mean, nothing drops ores anymore, so why would you have noted ore anyway like that?
Maybe if you had some noted, maybe if you withdrew noted ore from your bank to your inventory, this would happen.
Maybe, yeah.
Because you're right, you don't get ore anymore from anywhere. So, anyways, Velioff Hertz mentioned that rune boots could be obtained from drops drops from Necreals during in memory of the Myrek. And this has been changed to say that the player needs to make rune armored boots rather than getting these drops from the Necreals. So, and you know that makes sense now because these rune armored boots are going to be level 50. So that's perfectly in line with in memory of the Myrek.
Yep.
Soft clay will now work with divination porters when mined from the Ithil district in Fifteenus.
They didn't work before, huh?
Nope.
Although I can't justify using a porter on that. It seems like it'd be a waste of money, but
yeah, because the bank is, you know, literally about 12 steps away. So anyways, some changes for mobile, not too many we're going to mention here. Most of these are just little UI changes along the way. But they did do one for the puzzle boxes, the puzzle box interface when you're doing clue scrolls so that the puzzle can be completed correctly. And they also made these changes to improve interactions with the puzzles on both the standard client and mobile client. Now, the check button will now show a message box letting the user know how many tiles are correct and which are not if you have completed the puzzle. And the toggle keyboard invert button has been removed on mobile only, which, I mean, makes sense because you don't necessarily have a keyboard there. And the hint button is now displayed as a toggle, so you're able to view the hint for as long as you need. So, there was also an issue with these puzzle boxes after they were put out, where they have to get to a point where this coming Monday, when the next update goes live, that they're actually going to need to bring this out, and it couldn't be hot fixed on this. So, what was happening with this is that your puzzle could get out of sync. And with that, your puzzle wouldn't be completable. And apparently the workaround for this is to press the check button, which should make your puzzle update properly.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure what can trigger this bug, but apparently if your puzzle gets out of sync, just press the check button and that will fix it. So.
Okay.
I haven't done any clues this week. So I don't have a exact picture on what was happening with that. Now on to the other fixes where we're getting close to the one that I like, Tannis, and you'll know it when you hear it. The modified botanist's mask will now give the entire 200 vials in one go as intended. The modified shaman's headdress and the diviner's headwear will now give the correct number of items. The first stage tier will no longer check the number of herblore outfit pieces, instead the number of prayer outfit pieces owned.
Okay.
That's an interesting little mix-up. The Valkyrie's Return event now gives a login message informing players that the wolves can be killed again each day for more Valkyrie feathers. And, of course, we mentioned that on the update when that came out. And here it is. It is now possible to use a herb protector on a herb patch while having a green fingers aura active.
Oh, I remember you said that like when that came out.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
And, you know, it completely defeated the purpose of this invention device for anyone who was doing a high-level herb run, because anybody who is doing the high-level herb run was going to be using the Green Fingers aura.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I remember now.
I mean, it made no sense. And I mean, I guess it was just low priority or something. But finally got fixed. So I can say that, you know, people can probably look into the herb protectors again. If you're wanting to ensure that your things don't die, you're going to need five of them per run, because two of the patches are disease protecting, the wilderness one and Trollheim, of course. To make the herb protector, you need 30 organic parts, two healthy components, and a plant care. The plant care, of course, is the easiest one to get. Organic parts comes from things like crystal tree blossoms. I mean, if you're not interested in making however many perfect plus potions you have, you could look at the crystal tree blossoms.
Don't you get organic from when you break down logs sometimes, like magic logs, I thought? It seems like I've gotten a bunch of them when I've been breaking stuff down for an empty chart.
They're potions, flasks, bones and remains, potions, foods, herbs, okay, crystal trees, ashes, gizmos, and seeds. And our healthy components come from the same kind of stuff as well. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a good one. Now, moving on with this, Iron Men will now be given a reason as to why they cannot access Treasure Hunter via the calendar. It's because they're an Iron Man, by the way. And
why would you be trying?
Exactly.
Cheaters.
Exactly. When attempting to clean herbs from the Herblore habitat, the Make X interface confirm button will now properly read clean rather than mix. And that's it for the patch notes this week.
Well, some good ones.
Yeah, and I mentioned that was one of my long-desired ones. I don't know if it's as big as some of the other ones, but hey, it's there.
So. It is in the fact that, like, it's something that should have been from the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty. So, let's move on. I'll just take a moment and mention that if you have Twitch Prime, you can claim your Twitch Prime boost for February Valentine's Day themed. Lots of cute looking heart shaped things, including a Chinchampa plushie that looks like one of those ancient Furbies and whatnot, as well as a new Valentine's Day Twitch themed skirt. So if you have Twitch Prime, you can link your account and claim those by going to rs.game/claimprime. And in the show notes, we do have a screenshot of this as modeled by Siri on both the outfit that you can get and the Chinchampa plushie.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there. And you literally hold it and grasp it as if it's an actual plushie. So, all right, so before we move on to our questions, we'll just take a moment to thank our wonderful Patreon supporters this week. And this week, we would like to thank Ben W., Brock H., Kyle, and Zez. Thank you guys for your wonderful support and supporting this podcast and everything we do. Without the support from you and everybody else on Patreon, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing today with RSBNB Update. So thank you very much.
Yes, thanks all of you.
And if you want to find out more about this, just head on over to patreon.com/rsbnb, where you can learn all about the details, including helping us fund the costs for hosting and production of RSBNB for as little as $1 a month. You gain access to our show notes early. You gain access to all the monthly bits that we do. You get the ability to join our roundtable discussions when you do them. And you receive access to everything that we've done in the past, all for as little as $1 a month. For $3 a month, you'll get a special rank on our Discord, as well as a special mention at the on the podcast at the start of the month, as well as high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show each week. And for $5 a month, you'll get a special shout-out on the podcast each and every week, as well as exclusive access, early access to the outtakes we use for the clip show at the end of the year. So those are something that everybody loves hearing about. So all of that and more can be found at patreon.com/rsbnb. We'll be doing another monthly bit this month, and if we reach our $30 per tier, we will be doing Inside RSBNB Update, where you gain an inside look at the show, including interviews with our hosts and production team. You'll learn how the podcast comes together, and maybe even a sneak peek about where we record the podcast. So all this and more can be found at patreon.com RSVNB. All right. You ready for some questions this week?
What do we got, Shane?
All right. So first up is an audio question from Parnassius.
Hey, guys. It's Parnassius here with a question about something that was said a few weeks ago on one of your podcasts. It was regarding the ability for Iron Man to get resources to break down for components from invention. Now, having an Iron Man account myself, I have been annoyed with how much it has been watered down. Watching someone go from 65 to 97 construction over a Christmas event and the like. However, in this regard, I do need to disagree with you. Things like subtle components, which come from scimitars, whips, and defenders. Previously, as an Iron Man, I could go and make a bunch of Addy or steel bars and smith them into scimitars and then break them down for components. Because there's no shop that sells whips or defenders, and you know, you're not going to break down a 70k whip drop when you do get them from Abbey Demons. And defenders, obviously, are very hard to get as well. You've got to play a mini game and get the tokens. So, you know, scimitars are the way to go, and sort of 10 scimitars a day from the shops is pretty pointless. Subtle components now come from bladed selvage. However, if you do look at the drop tables, very few creatures drop these to collect, and you know, the large and medium ones, I believe nothing even drops those. Now, having the ability to make a corrupted bladed selvage that is, you know, maybe untradeable, or perhaps a bladed ingot, something like that, would be a good source for these components to be acquired. I mean, they could make them tradable with a terrible elk value so as not to further inflate the economy, but to my mind, you know, leave them untradable. Being able to smith items to break down could only be good all round for the community. Firstly, by allowing players to access components again, and secondly, by quickening the rate at which ore and bars will leave the game. And, you know, that can only be a good thing for skillers. Would love to hear a more in-depth discussion from you on all this, as I'm still loving the two greatest updates of the last few years, being the player-owned farms and, of course, the mining and smithing update. Until next time, happy scaping to you all.
You know, I thought we addressed this a couple of weeks ago on the Hattie and Skull episode where Tycho was on. I swear I remember us talking that there should be some kind of untradeable item or some kind of item that can be smithed just for components. I thought we talked about that.
I believe we did. You know, I think that's a viable solution. I'm pretty sure Abby's drop bladed salvage. I'm
right, but you don't want to be, but you don't necessarily want to have to go out and kill them as an Iron Man.
No, of course not. Honestly, I think the solution for Iron Man is to increase the store lots. But I just feel like that's part of being an Iron Man, right? It's going around doing your store runs and getting your runes and all that. So if you were to do that with weapons as well, you know, so that you could break down, to me that would make the most sense and cause the least amount of upheaval. Well, that's my opinion on it.
All right. And what are the specific types of components that we're looking for?
You're looking at subtle, and what was the other one he said?
Bladed?
Yes, I think that's right.
Let's see. No, it was bladed salvage. Subtle components, though. I mean, I'm looking at the wiki right now, and a rune scimitar plus 3. Rare chance of getting a subtle component.
Yeah, that's... Well,
so, I mean, I guess you can make that.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And if, you know, if we look at Rune Scimitar on its own, subtle components, but, I mean, and see, this is the disconnect I'm not understanding here. Because if you look at these items, it says that you can disassemble them. And there's a chance of getting these components.
Well, and if that's what was done before, like you were smithing Addy scimitars and the other, you know, whatever it was, it shouldn't be any different than if you were buying them from a store, right? Like the percentage should be the same.
Yeah.
Should be the same chance.
So, and, you know, with this, and, you know, this doesn't normally happen. I'm just a little bit confused as to what the issue is, because I mean, I see here that we can get subtle components from scimitars, as it says here, rarely.
Well, the issue is like Parnassus said, you're only getting 10. You can only get 10 at a time from the store, so it's not enough to do it. Which that's why I think like if you increased those stocks, that would be a viable solution. Not only that, but you remember like a while back, it might have been 6 months ago, but it was during Mon Mark's game jam ideas that he wanted to make stores relevant.
Viable again. Yeah.
Well, here's your chance without having to mess with your brand new mining and smithing rework or any of that. You could make the stores relevant, and I think that would be a good thing for Iron Man.
That would.
They like to go around and do that stuff.
But at the same time, I will clarify, and I'm sorry if this didn't come out this way when we were on that show, that I think that there should be a way to smith salvage and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. It's just if to me that's another level of a fix that I don't know if we need. Because I really think the stores would iron that out. And as for like having more ore go out, I would love that to be the case, but I mean, I don't know how that would work when Iron Man can't trade or anything. So I don't know.
Okay. Let's see. Rune-bladed salvage. See what that gives us in terms of components. So let's just say a large piece of bladed rune salvage. Subtle components, 1%.
Yeah, it's rough, but
I mean
it's not any different than what they were doing.
I mean, unless the discussion is let's go to higher tiers and let's have a Dracula salvage, let's have a Bainite salvage, and so on and so forth. I mean, that could be a discussion that we could have those kind of things be smithable salvage, right?
Untradeable.
Asterisk untradeable. I agree.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to that, but to me, that's a different issue than what they're looking at right now, because right now they should, I mean, the way I understand it, they're just looking at, they can't get the amounts of stuff that they got before.
Right.
So, but it was not that, because if you did the higher level stuff, I'm assuming that's going to give you a higher percentage chance
Correct.
Of getting,
Correct.
Right? So, but they don't have that now.
Okay.
Like, they didn't have that.
Okay, so the idea then is that rune got shifted down, so it's giving less components than it would have before.
I guess. Okay. I don't know what it was before.
To me, I don't think any – looking at everything that happened with mining and smithing, I don't think anything component-wise was changed with the rune, the way rune disassembles. It was just moved into salvage. And if you're not getting enough of that now, I'd say to the Iron Man people, and if I was playing an Iron Man, I would much rather smith it myself than have to go out and try and kill things. Am I wrong?
No, but well, I wouldn't see. I wouldn't want to smith all this stuff myself, because as wonderful as I think it is, it does take longer. I mean, people were producing an inventory full in the amount of time that it takes you to make one now. So I wouldn't want it that way. I would rather be over at the shop making a daily run. I just think that sounds like the easiest way.
Okay. So you'd rather see it done through the store?
I mean, that's just my personal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go back and listen to that after, because what I meant to say on that episode is that there definitely should be some kind of salvage. And I think in my notes that I take down as I was writing, I even made a bullet point that we need to go back to that and mention that. But I didn't actually get that out. There was something bigger that I ended up sending out for that episode. But nonetheless, I think there should be some kind of way to smith salvage. And that's what I meant to say back then. And I'll say that now. So though I still don't completely 100% understand the reasoning behind it. So I'll seek clarification on that. But thank you, Parnassus. Now, this next one is from Thieves, and oh boy, is it a big one.
Cool.
So, hey guys, here's my proposed idea for the comp cape rework. Let me know what you think. So we'll go through each of these bullet points here with this. First change, the untrimmed completionist cape. Jagex should remove all extra requirements and boil the cape down into something much simpler and create essentially what would be an untrimmed comp cape. One big argument bandied around by the community is that the step from maxing to completion is so large, so an untrimmed version would create a nice stepping stone for further achievements to come. To achieve this proposed untrimmed comp cape, one would need to have achieved max, achieved 120 dungeoneering, invention and slayer, completed all quests, and completed all tasks. The untrimmed completionist cape would have no extra stats on top of max. However, the reward for reaching completion, aesthetics aside, would include cape slot rewards from questing and tasks like sets like Abba's Alerta and the Ardoin Cloak 4, for example. Ironically, this simple change is more in line with what the completion of RuneScape should be, without confusing players with lofty requirements such as completing all ports trios, random requirements such as 1,111 Big Chinchampa score, that's gross, dated requirements such as unlocking the Bones to Peach's spell, and half-measure requirements that aren't a full completion of content such as fishing 33% of the Memorial Guthix. The simplified nature of the comp cape would eliminate any real need for grace periods after updates. Totally agree with this point.
I honestly haven't heard someone put it better.
Sometimes the simplest solution is the best solution.
That is, to me, that it's perfect. I mean, to me, a comp cape, max all the 120 skills and your quest and your task. I mean, yes. I like that.
All right.
That's what it should be.
Second point. Decluttering. A large portion of the existing completionist and trimmed requirements could be placed into the more suitable category of the Master Questscape. Aha. The Master Quest list will always be cluttered as the nature of it is pretty much tying up loose ends. A light scroll through the current list of completion and trim requirements and you'll find at least half of them could be shipped over to the Master Questscape category, such as attending Clarence's funeral, hunting Thalsius, and the completion of the Fremenic Sagas. Hello, those are lore requirements. The Ark, Menaphos, and Nuvarok sit within the Exploration Achievement section without having their own respective achievement diaries. Ports achievements should also be included in the Exploration section. These, what I would call pseudo-diaries, should have their current requirements removed from the current completionist list and placed into their respective categories within the Exploration Achievements for now. The requirements that I would deem random, such as including 11 Big Chinchampa and constructing a Tuska Mask, these are random because they don't offer any long-term benefits to the game. The Elder Rune Ore Box fits perfectly, for example, as it grants the player the very best of a certain item, whereas constructing a Tuska Mask is repeatable and offers just a small amount of XP and Slayer tokens. These smaller requirements should be removed entirely from completion and placed simply as normal achievements. Half-measure requirements, such as the aforementioned Memorial to Guthix, should simply be squished into one longer achievement. Requirements such as these were made to appease completionists who lost their capes and want them back ASAP, but hopefully changes such as the ones I'm mentioning would stop this issue. To summarize this section, I propose we relocate a large portion of the requirements into more appropriate categories, which would whittle down the comp and trim requirements to about 50 achievements in total.
Well, I definitely like moving the more quest-related items to the Master Questscape. Yeah. That makes all the sense in the world. And I actually, if he hasn't posted this on the Discord channel, that is,
he posted it on Reddit and it got downvoted, 67% upvote.
That's it?
Yeah.
This should have like a 90% upvote. I mean, this is pretty spot on. Like, and you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if this is what we end up with, because it kind of makes the most sense.
And sometimes doing the simplest thing is the best thing, you know?
Well, yeah,
if I were in charge of designing the comp cape, I would just say, hey, we're doing this consultation process. What do you guys think? Yada, yada, yada. But the internal designer in me tells me what actually needs to be done, and I would find a way to bring that forward to the community and get that out there. So,
no, you know, I mean, I wish I could find something that I don't necessarily agree with, but there really isn't anything. Like, okay. I really, I mean, it's really well thought out. I mean, I agree.
Third change, the issue of Reaper. Like it or not, defeating every boss, including Solak, is part of the game and should be considered part of actual completion. One of the many reasons the current comp caping game is so desirable to PVMers is because it combines all the most powerful capes conveniently into one. I would propose that the remaining PVM requirements, such as completing the Slayer Codex, Reaper Crew, and even killing the Penance King, should be swept into their own PVM category.
That I do agree with.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is like, even though I don't want it to be true that you should probably kill all the bosses, it doesn't take away from the fact that I know you probably should kill all the bosses.
For true completion.
But for what we're talking about, I think it'd be fine in its own category.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or even a sub cape that you use on the way to getting your, like, if you want to do the combat stuff first and the Reaper stuff first, you can do that, and you get a combat completionist cape, kind of like it would be like the untrimmed version of the comp cape that he initially mentioned, and it would be one step on the road to getting towards that full completion.
Yeah, well, and that shows what you're into, you like, you know.
Oh, and lo and behold, here we are. Actually, no, I'm getting ahead of myself. Fourth change, the remaining requirements, akin to the proposed PVM changes, every requirement left over, such as building Darmok and Rihanna, unlocking the full Agile and prestiging the Memorial, should be swept into a category of their own. These would include current trim requirements like Chompies. For now, let's just call this category Extra Credit.
Hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just there. I don't really feel much about this category or this fourth change.
I feel like you could axe them all together. I mean, honestly.
Okay. Well, then you're going to have people who are crying because they spent all the time doing these.
Did you? Did you really? Or did you get... you know what I'm saying? Come on. You get the rocks while you're doing that stuff anyway.
The Chompies.
Yeah, you know what? Just because you suffered doesn't mean everyone should suffer forever, right? People in the Middle Ages died of Black Death, too. Should we still have Black Death? I'm just saying. No, it's a horrible requirement, and I'm sorry for anyone that had to do that.
But yeah, and same thing with the 5,000 Castle Wars games.
Yeah. You know, this is part of the... to me, this is dated. Like, it's so dated that I just don't think it's relevant.
All right. And now this is where we're going next. Completion branches, fifth change. So here's the meat of my suggestion. People have suggested that a form of this in the past, but I'll reiterate it with my untrimmed cape idea. White particles. To unlock the cape we know and love today, players would be required to obtain the untrimmed completion cape, have completed the pseudo diaries, which would effectively mean 100% completion of the exploration category, and finally to completed the extra credit category as mentioned in the change above. This cape, aside from the benefits bestowed by the untrimmed cape, would be effectively a cosmetic change unless Jagex sees fit to release a new non-combat cape slot perks. To release new non-combat cape slot perks. Next, you have black particles. This new cape would again require players to obtain the untrimmed completionist cape, but would only have to complete everything in the new PVM category. Unlike the white particled cape, this cape would have the combat benefits that the current cape possesses, again, until new combat-oriented capes become available. And finally, gold particles. Trim would now effectively have no requirement category with this new structure. To unlock this proposed trim cape, players would need to have completed the white particle cape, the black particle cape, and the Master Quest cape. This inclusion of the Master Quest cape is important because it represents completion of enormous amounts of content that the current system ignores. Apologies for the length of this from Thieves.
Well, I don't have a problem with the idea or the structure of where he's going at. The only hiccup I see is if we color coordinate the particles, part of the fun of comp is being able to color it how you want. So we're taking a hit on the fashionscape here, and that's very close to my heart, you know.
So in other words, you have no problems with this whatsoever.
I mean, I guess you could put it that way. But don't underestimate the importance of fashionscape.
Yeah. I think there's more work that needs to be done to flesh out the combat and Reaper section, as well as the miscellaneous extra credit section as well. But everything else in this proposal, I think, is good.
And I mean, I would take the stats off, even for the combat.
Yeah.
You got your black particles. We get it. You're Mr. Big Dick. We know. Okay. But you don't. I don't know. I don't think it needs the stats for that. I think that's what they're trying to do, right? Is get rid of the stats so that people don't have to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a pretty good discussion on that. And I'm definitely going to be sure to post this section of the episode in various places, because I think this is a discussion that people need to have, and credit to you for posting it on Reddit and such. But, you know, I think it needs a bigger audience, and I'm glad to provide that on the show here, because I think it's a damn good idea.
It's a very good, it's very well thought out. I mean, that's, you can tell Thieves sat down and actually really thought about this. Hats off to you.
Alrighty. If you guys want to send your own questions in, email them to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can find the thread at update.rsbnb.com/ask. And we're also on Twitter @rsbnb, where you can send us a DM or send us a mention, and we'll get your question on the podcast. So, all right. So moving into tech news as we go, cryptocurrencies, Tanis, you know, $190 million lost. This company can't pay its customers anymore because its CEO died and didn't provide the password to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So the Canadian cryptocurrency exchange, Quadriga CX, owes its customers $190 million, or $249 million Canadian, according to CoinDesk. And this is because the exchange's founder died last year due to complications of Crohn's disease.
You know what doesn't require passwords?
Cash.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, Quadriga's inventory of cryptocurrency has effectively become unavailable, and some of it might even be lost. His widow reported the death, and the company has been figuring out what to do about this going back to December, and it's gained media traction this week as CoinDesk is cited a court filing on the issue. So users of this exchange were experiencing withdrawal issues and ultimately a lack of communication up from the top, and so much so that the new directors even voted to temporarily pause the platform back on January 26th. Pause, that is, the trading of its cryptocurrency. So this is an issue that can happen with cryptocurrency, is that it is effectively like cash. And, you know, you can put cash in a vault and somebody, either you or the bank or your will, you know, the passcode to get into the vault. But with modern cryptocurrency, you don't need to necessarily write that password down. You can store it in a password manager, and if you don't back that up, or you even lose the store itself, you're losing money. And that's what's happening in this case. And, you know, this is going to shine a negative light on the crypto industry. And, you know, at the same time, it also has to be a learning experience to people about why you don't step in and you don't go into smaller cryptocurrency exchanges and just stay with the larger ones in general. So this is a huge story, and I think anybody who's doing crypto needs to be buyer beware on this.
I mean, what if the dude, like, faked his own death? Like, I mean, could he just be sitting on 190 mil?
Yeah.
Just living large in India?
Well, no, actually. I mean, he could have the money, but he couldn't be living large because anytime he would try and convert that cryptocurrency into real money, it would show up on the exchange.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Next piece of tech news. Microsoft is rumored to be looking at expanding its Xbox Live gaming network to Android, iOS, Nintendo Switch, and many more. As we all know, the Xbox is one of the breakthrough consoles and has been since the very beginning. Windows 10 brought the Xbox gaming experience to the PC. And what Microsoft is aiming to do, according to this release at GDC 2019 next month, they're going to be releasing a new cross-platform development platform that'll let people on Android, iOS, and Switch be able to hook into the Xbox Live gaming service, provide people the ability to have Xbox Live achievements and Xbox Live parties and whatnot, all on these platforms, as well as, I'm guessing, what Microsoft is hoping is that they will want to use this to ship their games.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And, I mean, I think this is a big deal for Android and iOS in particular. I don't know if they'll get them to do it on the Switch, but...
Oh, yeah. They don't usually play well with the others.
I mean, it would be up to Nintendo to incorporate it, but I can definitely see independent developers on Android and iOS picking this up. And, you know, this could be interesting to see if you could get some people to distribute their games on mobile via the Xbox network. That would be something. And it kind of shows where Microsoft is going in the future with Xbox Live and making it more of a service, just in the case that at some point down the line the Xbox were to disappear, Microsoft's Xbox service still remains.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I do have to commend Microsoft just for the way that they do push flexibility with the gaming services and stuff.
And you know, people poo-pooed it when it came out on Windows 10 and whatnot, but the Windows 10 Xbox gaming experience has truly transformed Windows 10 gaming, and it's a shame more game developers don't use the built-in Microsoft hooks that Microsoft provides.
Yeah, that's true.
So, all right, and our final piece of tech news is something in the personal security front, and this comes from Google directly. This week, Google has launched a new extension that you can pick up on the Chrome extension store that is called Password Checkup. And what this does is it helps protect your accounts from third-party data breaches with a new feature called Cross-Account Protection. So what they are going to be doing with this is proactively detecting and responding to security threats. And an example they say is that they already reset your password on your Google account if you've been exposed to a third-party breach, but they want to provide you with this same tool for your other accounts beyond just the Google apps and services. So you get this new password extension, and if they detect that a username and password on a site you use is one of over 4 billion credentials that they know to have been compromised, the extension will trigger an automatic warning and suggest that you change your password on that website. So if you're signed up for Reddit, just as an example, and you have this extension, and at some point in the future Reddit is compromised, next time you go there, it will alert you that you should change your password.
Okay.
And it's not looking at your passwords. It's just looking at what the industry says as to, hey, this site was breached, password stolen, and if that's the case, you're going to get a little indicator you should change it.
Okay.
Now, if you also use something like 1Password or LastPass to manage your passwords, these tools already do that, but you need to go into the actual app to see that, and it'll suggest that you change your password because it might have been included in a breach. So this is basically bringing this out to the masses because, you know, I think it's still a relatively small percentage of the population that uses a password manager. Do you use a password manager?
No.
Okay. See?
I should, and I know I should. I've been on this show long enough to know that I should, but I just haven't made around to it yet.
Yeah, and you know, our recommended password manager is LastPass if you're on Windows, and I say 1Password if you're on the Mac and iOS, just because it provides a better integration. So that's what you can look at for this. But anyways, have a look at this Google blog post regarding this and pick up this extension. I would recommend anybody who uses Chrome do this just to get a notification of if you're on a site that has potentially been breached.
Okay.
All righty. You ready for some achievements of the week?
Yeah.
All right. Start us off.
Wolfytopia with 99 thieving on February 6th. We have Patapolo with 99 farming on February 6th.
Woo!
Yay! We have Farr with 99 mining on February 5th. Protoman 87 or 807 with 120 invention. Nice. With February 5th. We have KJ Howard with 120 divination. Woo! He watched a lot of Netflix on February 3rd. Cool Banksy with 99 wood cutting on February 3rd. Roller Dude with 540 with 99 fishing on February 2nd. Love Natural, 99 Slayer, February 2nd. And Frar with 99 strength on February 2nd.
Nicely done, everyone. Yes. Continuing on that, we have Dianima with 99 fishing on the 2nd as well. Frar again with 99 constitution on February 2nd. Magic King, part of this podcast in the past, with 99 thieving on February 2nd as well. And Derpalt New with 99 farming on February 2nd. Nice farmings this week.
Oh, look at the farming. Yeah.
Mr. Jingles with 120 magic on February 1st. Sorensen 57 with 200 million ranged XP on February 1st. And Mrovic with 99 smithing on January 31st. Nicely
very
done,
nice.
Everyone.
Yeah, it's very good. I'm not surprised to see Sorensen with the 200 mil ranged after last month,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I like the farmings that are there.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to see them still going.
All right, what do you got for pick of the week?
Shane, this week I am picking the Lunar New Year Steam Cell.
Okay, so it's kind of a meta pick, but that's good.
You know, here's the thing. We all probably buy way too many games on Steam sales, but and we did just have one in the winter. But this one's cool. So this one, there's a lot of little like rewards to get tokens for when you're buying stuff, and you can use those tokens either for additional discounts, like $5 off the next game you buy, or different things for your profile picture, emotes in your chat, just a little trinkets and stuff like that. But the $5 off, that's really cool because you're spending the money anyway. So you actually brought stuff down. I have ended up picking up the Farming Simulator, you know, with all of the DLC. I got it for $20. All right. Cause
yeah, those games love to put DLC in.
That's becoming an e-sport, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I drive badly on everything else, so I figured, why not try a tractor? See if I drive that badly, too. Probably.
Oh, Golf with Your Friends is on sale for 35% off. That's one I can recommend.
Yeah, that one's fun. I also picked up, for all the wrestling fans out there, WWE 2K19 and an excellent career mode with that one. Good story. And here's the one, Shane, right? I got Far Cry 5 for $15.
Ooh.
But $5 off, so $10 for Far Cry 5. That game has only been out like literally a year. Like February, I think it came out February last year. $10.
There's also a section that highlights the games by Chinese developers too.
Yeah. So, which, you know, makes sense since we're talking about the Lunar New Year or the Chinese New Year, what have you. So, you know, check it out if there's anything you're wanting to grab. You know, Steam did it to me again. I always say every year, I say, yeah, I'm not going to buy that many games. I don't need any more. And much like women with shoes, I'm buying games.
Oh, all righty. Well, that's the Steam sale, and anybody can find that by opening your Steam client. But if not, we do have a link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com to the actual page for that. So what have you been up to in RS this week?
I finally have gotten all of the pieces that I need for my trim and masterwork.
Ooh.
So now I'm actually making the plates and stuff. Got everything. Everything is folded, and I just picked up the very last three essence that I needed today. So
good.
Yeah.
You're going to sell the set or you're going to wear it?
Oh, no, no, no. This is going on my body, and it's probably never coming off.
Good.
I will fight Armadil and Masterwork Armor. I do not care.
You'll find a way.
I've worked so hard on this stuff. It's never coming off.
Well, I'm sure that's the feeling that Jack and crew wanted for that. So, yeah. All right. Fair enough. As for me this week, I have purchased all my nests that I need for Double XP Weekend. That'll be enough to do in 120 Herblore. The plan is to do 1,000 Super Melee Pots and about 5,500 Ceridoman Brews. And I'm also farming all the herbs I need for Ceridoman Brews, and I am 2,500 out of 5,000 there. So that'll get done by Double XP Weekend, and that's why this week for the Herb Protector was so good. Because, I mean, sure, you're sinking a bit of money into those, and, you know, I'm not entirely sure if it's economical to do that based on what you need to disassemble. I haven't run the cost projections on that. But, I mean, if you have them lying around, use them, because it just prevents those herbs from dying. And, you know, I should also say that in this farming stint last weekend, I did hit a new herb record of 138 on a single
Holy
run.
Holy cow.
I think I can hit 140.
Well, two more? Yeah?
Yeah. And you see what you can do with herb farming. They take an hour and a half to grow. Clean toad flax is going for 5177 GP. And if you just have a good optimal run of 100 herbs, that's 500K. Because the seed itself is like 2K.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, that'll be that. So herb farming is always good. We'll be back next week for Quest Week here at RSBNB Update, discussing, of course, the chef's assistant. And even though I hate cheesecake, it is Quest Week. We will have to bear down and discuss that. With that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. You can join us in-game at our friends chat, Bits Bytes, or you can follow us on Twitter at RSBNB. And, of course, full show notes are available at update.rsbnb.com. See you then, everyone. Take care.
Take care.